Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus, in his humility and in his subsequent glorification, is set forth for us in our epistle text in order to move us Christians to emulate Jesus as we interact with the world and with our fellow Christians. Earlier in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, he says this: let your conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That means, let the way that you live your life day by day be worthy of your confession of the gospel of Christ. He says that whether I come and see you or else absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, he's trying to move our hearts to live and confess in the world in a certain way. And he says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The devil, the world, want to stamp out your faith. They want to make a mockery of it. They want to frighten you into silence and insecurity. Go ahead and be religious. Just do it over in a corner someplace where we don't have to see it. Don't be terrified by your enemies. Their activity is, to them, an evident token of perdition. Their opposition to the Christian faith is a token of their coming damnation. That's what that means. But to you, it's a token of salvation. Why? Because not only has it been given you to believe on Christ, but it has been granted to you and given to you to also suffer for his name's sake. So therefore, don't let the world cow you into fear and hiding, but stand fast. Be bold together as Christians and strive for the faith of the gospel. And then he goes on in the beginning part of chapter 2, and he talks about life together in a Christian congregation. And he says, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. Don't be concerned just with your own stuff, but be concerned for the things of others as well. So St. Paul says that our Christian conduct has several aims. Number one, that we maintain a clear, strong profession of faith before the world, despite our adversaries. Number one. And number two, that when we live together in the holy Christian congregation, that we would practice lowliness and humility so that we are of one mind, one accord, having the same love, not striving and competing with one another and getting the best of one another, but working together in humility under the Word of God for the things that pertain to the kingdom of God and to the blessing of our neighbor. So, in order to stir us and to move us in this direction, he says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, adopt the same kind of thinking that Jesus was motivated by. Be like Christ in your thinking. Alright? How do we do that? Number one, he says, alright, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Alright, so, before his incarnation, in all eternity, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, was God, and he was equal to the Father and to the Holy Ghost. So you had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost from all eternity, co-equal with one another. And it says here of Christ, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think that it was in any way improper to be equal with God. And he didn't think that his equality with God was something that he had to grab hold of and cling to for dear life in desperation. Right? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he didn't see his equality with God as something to be held on to and grabbed hold of and clung to at all costs. Why? Because he was God. He was equal with God. And that's all there is to it. Alright? Well, now, how does that apply to us? It's talking about the second person of the Holy Trinity and his attitude towards his equality with God. How does that apply to us? Well, you are, not by nature, but by grace, through your baptism, you are a holy saint of God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You have been exalted to the status of son and heir in the kingdom of God. Your position as a Christian is so lofty that even when I tell you about it, you're tempted to disbelieve me. Right? That's how high your status is between you and God. Right? But we, even though this is the truth in our baptism, that we are the sons of God, the holy saints of God, the chosen and elect of God, the favored of God, even though all these things are utterly true about us, we ought not to think of it as something to be clung to at the expense of service to others and at the expense of obedience to the Lord. All right? Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We who are the sons of God by redemption in Christ should think it not robbery to have this high status, but we should rather be willing as Jesus was, and we'll see this in a moment, to be humble and to be a servant for the sake of our neighbor and the glory of God. All right? So that's how we do it. I am a saint of God. Does that mean that I'm exempt from getting my hands dirty in the necessities of life? No. I'm happy to be a servant of God, and I'm happy to give myself for the cause of Christ and the benefit of my neighbor. All right? That's what we're talking about here. Just as Jesus, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That's how he thought it not robbery. Instead of clinging tenaciously to his heavenly glory and perquisites, instead, he made himself nothing. All right? And took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. You know, we basically think that we're pretty great, you know, so we can't really understand this statement at face value, because what's he really talking about here? Think about you. If you were, I don't know, maybe this is crazy, but if you were the second person of the Trinity, and for all eternity, you had existed with the Father and the Holy Ghost in perfect glory, bliss, and exaltation, governing and ruling all things, and then you were to consider the fact that you were to become a human being and live in the world of sin and brokenness. And that not only that, but you would be willing to suffer and to die in order to redeem lost human beings from their sins. And now you see, Jesus, he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. This is a great condescension. This is a great humiliation and coming down. Jesus was perfectly willing to take the form of a servant in order that we might be raised to glory. And then, not only did he become human, all right, but being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So not only is he a man, with all that that means, but he further humbles himself in obedience to the will of his heavenly Father by submitting himself not only to death, but to the death of the cross, to the worst kind of death. Right? He willingly, humbly obeys his Father's will by giving himself over to death, even the death of the cross. Now think about this for a second. God Almighty can't die. He can't die. He's just brimming over with life. He can't die. But when God becomes a man, in his incarnation, now his divine nature and his human nature can, in their communion together, make it so that for all intents and purposes, God dies. That's how amazing it is what Jesus was willing to do to save you from your sins. That God died in Christ to save you from your sins. And the Bible says this furthermore back in the book of Acts, when it says that God shed his blood for us. Read the book of Acts, and you will see that it was God's blood shed upon the cross of Calvary for our sake. And so the idea of the obedience, the humility, the humbleness, and the submission to death, even the death of the cross, it's an astounding thing. And here, Paul is holding it before us as an example for our thinking and our conduct. He says, be like Jesus in the way that you think, and be like Jesus in the way that you interact with the world and with your brothers and sisters in Christ in humble obedience, willing to suffer just the way Jesus did. But he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us there. He says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. All right? So Jesus did not end his human and whatever experience in the tomb. All right? Jesus, number one, his first exaltation was that he descended into hell. That is, the Lord went down into hell and proclaimed his victory over hell, over death, and over damnation itself. He proclaimed his victory. Then secondly, he was raised from the dead bodily, and he appeared to his disciples. Then thirdly, he visibly and physically ascended up into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God, where he now rules until all of his enemies are put under his footstool. And finally, on the last day, he will return to judge, to be the judge of the living and the dead. So, to humble yourself and to walk in the way of obedience in faith is not a counsel of despair and defeat. It is, in fact, a counsel of victory, because Jesus rose from the dead and now rules all things and will judge the world on the last day. We too, though we are dead, yet shall we live. We have life and the promise of vindication on the day of judgment, and the promise of eternal glory in the kingdom of glory. And so it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, I just wanted to point this out to you because if you miss it, it's kind of sad. And I wanted to just close the sermon with this. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 45. Come on, 45. We have a passage here. Isaiah 45 verse 23 says this, and this is God speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So do you see? In the book of Isaiah, the Lord God Jehovah says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear to me. And here in Philippians, every knee at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you see what Paul is saying here? He begins our text and he ends our text with the confession that Jesus is God Almighty. All right? And in the person and work, the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus is fulfilled. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear to me. And that me is the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And since he is the exalted Lord and ruler of all things, you and I, we can, in humbleness and obedience, serve the Lord to his glory and to the blessing of our neighbor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.